Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Halfway through our fourth show of the work week. I have to keep track, otherwise I forget what day it is. I still kind of do that. What date it is? No idea. It dawned on me earlier on Wednesday that I had not called my Grammy in almost 2 weeks. This is the longest I've gone without talking to my Grammy since the pandemic shut everything down. It's not on purpose. It's just that the days have all blended together with the packing, the moving, the working in one place. And gosh, you'd think I'd never commuted before in my life, but just the cleaning and everything else, the preparation for the family. So I've got to call my Grammy on Thursday and maybe I'll tell her all about the gory details of the new house. Oh my gosh. I don't want another couple days to go by without checking in with her. But yeah, the days blend together. So I'm keeping track as a countdown toward the weekend and vacation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're getting amazing responses to our show question. I have to give the credit to a listener who asked me this question on Ask Amy Anything. If you could go to one sporting event, we've expanded it here to one venue, whether it's a field, court, an arena, a ballpark, whatever it is. You could pick one event or one venue and be the only fan in the stands. Which one would you choose? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We'll get back to your answers, maybe more of your phone calls, 855-212-4227. But Orlando is about to be a really popular place, not just all of the NBA and the team, the personnel, everyone descending there, but how about Major League Soccer? Let's welcome Roger Gonzalez, who covers the beautiful game, MLS, as well as soccer around the world, U.S., of course, for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. We know that MLS is returning with a tournament style type of an event, so like the World Cup. Roger, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, certainly to be able to get games is exciting, and doing it in a tournament format like the World Cup, which, you know, is obviously so synonymous with the summer, and even, you know, in other tournaments that have similar styles during the summer. It's nice to see. You know, I think the big thing is finding some incentive. And, you know, there's a pool of money that's available. It's not all that much. I think it's $1.1 million. I mean, obviously it's a lot, but when you think about, you know, the amount of players, and I'm not sure how they're going to divide that up, but being able to win the tournament and have the games count towards the regular season standings and also qualify for the regional competition, which is the CONCACAF Champions League, I certainly think it makes it more enticing. So it will be fun. It will be interesting to see how it works out, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the teams perform.
What have you heard so far about the protocols, even as we talk so much about the sports coming back and the health and safety checks? What about MLS and how they will conduct their business trying to get everybody there and keep them safe?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly complicated. You know, they're going to have the testing, the player arrival and testing on the 24th, and they're going to, you know, try to keep, you know, these guys in, you know, kind of in their not necessarily isolation, but in a way it is in regards to, you know, keeping the teams apart, keeping them away from others. It's going to be really interesting to see. You know, I've talked to players who have you know, they're trying to figure out what to do with their family. Are they going to bring their family with them? Some are looking to find some Airbnbs in a nearby city. And so it's certainly tricky. I think what MLS will do, though, as other leagues, is look towards the Bundesliga in Germany and what they have been able to do there. Now, it's going to be hard for any team to match the level of just kind of dedication and just thoroughness that we've seen in the Bundesliga, where they're, you know, using disinfectant at halftime to clean off the soccer balls. I mean, they've taken it to not an extreme, but they're just going, you know, above and beyond. And so I think MLS can learn from that. And I certainly think there's a growing concern among the players because of what we're seeing in Florida and the rise of cases for coronavirus and interesting times ahead. We've seen how it's impacted, you know, the NBA potentially as well, while the players are concerned about the virus and the current, you know, situation we're dealing with in the country when it comes to police brutality. But I think MLS is a league that knows it has quite the opportunity to you know, showcase themselves in a fun tournament that, you know, should really pick up, you know, even new soccer fans, people who aren't really interested in the sport. But, you know, live sports on TV is certainly something that people want.
So far, would you term the Bundesliga return a success?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been incredible to see, and talking to players who play there, you know, they say, you know, without the fans, it's eerie, it's different, it's very strange. But with just how thorough they have been in regards to just the protocols. I was speaking to someone at Bayer Leverkusen last month, I believe it was, and they were just explaining to me how they were going to handle match days, how they know who was coming into the stadium at what time, through what entrance, keeping people apart. It was just this unbelievably organized plan to ensure safety, and you know, a lot of these clubs are doing that. And you know, in Germany, a lot of these teams have like pandemic response teams. Like years ago, they've created these teams that would handle, you know, it's hard to envision a situation like this, but they had things in place to be able to, you know, to quickly act on something like this. And that's why I think, you know, Bundesliga has been able to get back so quickly.
Roger Gonzalez covers soccer, the other football, for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Considering what they've done and the pattern they have in place, can it be modeled in the United States?
After Germany?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's, you think about in Germany, I mean, they're doing it at at all of the stadiums. So like all the home team stadiums. So that's 18 stadiums throughout the German first division and more in the second division. So, you know, when you're thinking about MLS and having it at, you know, down at Disney in Orlando, I think it certainly makes it a whole lot more practical and maybe allows for, you know, some more consistency in regards to not having to deal with as many venues. So I certainly think that's going to be, you know, maybe simplify things a bit. But, you know, make no mistake about it, MLS plans on having the regular season in some capacity after the tournament. They still want to finish the season and the playoffs by December, by the end of the year. So, you know, the big question is going to be what they can do after this tournament in regards to home markets and then trying to get games in there.
So there's not an actual plan in place beyond this World Cup-style tournament yet?
Right, there's nothing that's been finalized, but they're going over the options, whether it's a reduced schedule, and you know, that's why making these games at the tournament count towards the regular season standings maybe gives them, and not necessarily a little bit more breathing room, but some more options to kind of work with.
We have heard a lot of the conversation around the home stadiums and the fans, and where in some places there might be fans allowed, some places there might not, and there's a conversation about the home field versus also the unlevel playing field, if that's even a word, unlevel, not level playing field. At any point, have you heard the players or the, you know, soccer officials talk about those types of challenges where it might not be the same in every area?
Well, I think, you know, in soccer, there's this, you know, certainly not just perceived. I mean, there's an advantage, obviously, to playing at home. The fans in soccer are like nothing else in the world. And so when they're chanting like crazy and encouraging you on in the 80th minute, it gives you that boost of power. You know, the home teams certainly have an advantage. Over in Europe, what we've seen so far is, you know, there hasn't really been any home field advantage. In Germany, I think it was 5 of the first 27 games were won by the home team. In Spain, I think 4 of the first 12. And so these games are interesting because it's more of like a neutral venue. Almost feels like I don't want to say a friendly, but it's just so different than everything we've experienced, and it's kind of leveled the playing field in a sense where home or away teams, on the road probably have a better chance of getting results than than they would in front of the home fans.
There's some conditioning that athletes can do while they're on their own and they're isolated, separated. And in the case of soccer, you often have a major international flair where not all the athletes may even be in the United States. But from what you can tell, how much have they been able to stay in shape and continue to at least try to work on skills and that type of thing during these last 3.5 months?
Yeah, it's certainly tricky. You know, a lot of these teams have been able to practice now for a bit together, but, you know, after having been off for so long, it presents challenges. We've seen, clubs going through, kind of like exercise routines with teammates through Zoom video calls. I'm sure a lot of these guys are just standing next to a brick wall with a soccer ball and just passing it back and forth and just trying to, get their touch up to what it was before. So, I think we haven't really seen too much in regards to maybe more players being injured or there being a lack of fitness. I think the guys have come back pretty strong overall in Europe, but we have seen some of these leagues adopt a rule of allowing 5 substitutes instead of 3 to kind of give these teams a bit more flexibility in case they do encounter some issues. And I think for these MLS guys, getting down to Orlando, it's going to be hot, it's going to be a challenge. The league is doing what they can to try to get these players adapted as quickly as they can, and having them use kickoff times that are different, playing 1 early game and
yes,
2 at night. You know how that Florida heat can be. So the league's doing what they can. The players, I think, will be ready, but it's certainly going to be odd, and it's going to take some adjusting too.
Can you imagine being the group that has to play at 9 a.m. Eastern time?
Yeah, that would, that's something. I wonder, maybe some of these guys would like to get the game out of the way, but maybe it'll be a little bit cooler in the morning than it is around 8 p.m., but who knows? I'm sure there'll be some storms that they'll have to deal with as well.
It's interesting, too, to read some of their protocols about what game days are going to look like and how they're going to have personnel divided into 3 tiers based on their actual level of testing, whether it's players and coaches, referees, medical staff, then you've got the media. I mean, we're talking about a large number of people in this bubble, maybe even up to 1,500. That's a lot of logistics, Roger.
It is, and it's complicated. It's for some players it's concerning, and I think the league, they've gone through so many different options as to how they could make this work and feel comfortable with this one, and hopefully things go smoothly. But I keep looking now and again at those numbers in Florida too with how the cases are rising, and it's concerning, especially for some of these players who maybe have a family member that has maybe a condition that, could be impacted by being infected by the virus. And so the league is obviously trying to put the health of everyone involved above everything. But there's always some risk to it. And that's, that's really got my attention.
Roger Gonzalez of CBS Sports with us here talking about the return of MLS and soccer around the world. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. In other sports, we've heard the commissioner say that if a player chooses to opt out and decides not to return, that won't be penalized. Is that also the case with soccer, with MLS?
Yeah, well, it's going to be tricky because, we've had the players go through really intense negotiations just to kind of, avoid a lockout and get this competition going. So we haven't seen an example yet of someone just refusing that, saying that they weren't going to play. There was concern about Chicharito Hernandez of the Galaxy, who had just had a baby and wanting to be cautious. I'm told he's expected to play. So I think, we'll see a lot of these players down there. It's going to be interesting to see if some come out and say, hey, they're not going to do it. And if so, I think, each club will try to handle that and, handle that by themselves and try to come up with something that helps everybody out. And, because it counts towards the regular season standings, there's a little bit more pressure. It's not just some,
sure,
little tournament, like a preseason tournament. These games matter. So I think these players are taking it seriously, and, they're going to do what they can to be there.
Something else that has been top of mind in many of the other sports and they're fighting over it in baseball is the revenue that's going to be drastically reduced and then pay cuts. And I know that the MLS athletes, as you say, there was negotiation. They agreed to take pay cuts. What type of financial situation, though, does this leave MLS in as a whole?
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, when you see all these businesses that are greatly impacted, and certainly, you know, these sports leagues, and you think about, you know, what it means for the loss of, you know, not just merchandise, you know, but you talk about tickets and all those, you know, game day sales. And so I think the league is certainly going to take, you know, quite the big hit and do what they can to, you know, to remain stable after this. I don't think there's any, you know, serious concerns about the future of the league when you look at how it's growing and the incoming clubs in the coming years. But it's certainly going to make the league reevaluate things and have to, you know, make certain sacrifices in order to keep things going smoothly. So, like you said, the players, you know they had to take some sort of cut based on what's happening. And I think the MLS overall is in a good spot. And, you know, a big portion of why these leagues are coming back is certainly to try to satisfy those television contracts, which is where the money is. So it's hard. It's certainly really challenging. And thankfully, you know, it looks like they have a plan that could work.
Before I let you go, Roger, you mentioned the climate of our country, and there's a lot of the social conversation that's taking place. And certainly with MLS, there's this incredible international flair, all colors, shapes, sizes, backgrounds, ethnicities. Where do you believe that we will see the cross-section of what's happening in our nation now with the protests and the cries for social justice kind of intersect with the world of soccer?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in MLS, we're certainly going to see, I think, some forms of, you know, showing, you know, support towards, you know, the situations that we've seen going on in this country. I mean, you just look it over in England. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the issues in the U.S. and in England in the Premier League. You've got teams wearing Black Lives Matter on the back of their jerseys and showing support for the United States and you know, the current situation. So I think with MLS, we can expect, you know, at least some display from the players of unity and trying to unite, you know, everyone of every color during such a tricky time in this country where there's so much division. And, you know, the MLS has come out and, you know, they've stated their, you know, support for players to, you know, express their beliefs and so on. And so I think we'll be seeing something from some of the players and some of the clubs as well. Hmm.
This is normally a really busy time of the year for the sport. What do you miss the most?
Well, I think, you know, I think it was, I sometimes get lost track of the days because of how things, you know, have gone. But, you know, we had a recent day where we were supposed to have Argentina versus Uruguay and Germany versus France in the Copa America and in Euro 2020. And, you know, that was the day I circled on my calendar for the summer as, you know, no distractions. It's going to be an amazing day to watch some games. And so, you know, not having those international tournaments, it's quite tricky, having the Olympics postponed as well to next year. So it's going to make the summer of 2021 even a bit more crazy. But it's still nice to be able to get some of the most important leagues in the world back to play. And, you know, it's going to be straight through the summer with leagues going into July. In August, we could see Champions League play. And then, you know, leagues resuming, they're starting their next season in September.
Yeah, it's like once the floodgates open, boom, there could be every sport and every league known to man all operating at the same time.
Right.
You can find Roger on Twitter at @rgonzalezCBS. Covers the beautiful sport, the beautiful game for both CBS and CBS Sports HQ. It's always good to catch up with you. Thanks very much for a couple of minutes.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Pass Morris on the right wing, extra feet in the near side corner. George with a pump fake, backing down against Harris. Step back 20 footer is short. Rebound tapped out by Harris into the hands of Korkmaz, taken away by George. Here comes George down the lane to the basket, lays it up and in off the glass. PG 13 doing work.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Noah Eagle, the son of Ian Eagle, on the Clippers Radio Network. Will one of the Los Angeles teams be the last team standing in the Western Conference? I just keep thinking about how all bets are off once the NBA teams get back to Orlando, because it's going to take a team with great leadership, with a good veteran presence, but also guys who can avoid the injuries. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about the injuries. They're freak injuries. But it's going to take some of that as well. And staying together, obeying the rules. There's now an anonymous tip line that's being constructed so that players, I guess, coaches, maybe NBA personnel, maybe it's residents of Orlando, average man or woman on the street who can call up and essentially tattle. And I get it. If you're going to make everybody abide by the rules, and there are people, because there are always people who won't, why should you have to do it if they're not doing it? Everybody should be on the same level playing field as much as possible. So I get it. I can also see the pitfalls. I can also see where this could go woefully and horribly wrong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Still a lot of details that have to fall into place, but it does seem more and more like the majority of the players are on board. Daily we get updates and the 113-page manual that was sent to everybody who is expected to be in the bubble. Meticulous detail. And we know there's still some players, don't know exactly how many, but some players who believe it would be better for the NBA not to put everyone in Orlando and not bother finishing what they started. Some because of the social issues and feeling like the boycott would be a better way to call attention to their message. Others because of the virus. Though I do get the sense that it's more about the system. It's more about the way that they would have to be in Orlando and not allowed to leave, like a college campus on lockdown, as opposed to it being about the virus. I think for the majority of the people, the NBA players anyway, it's not so much about the virus. Right now, though, it does seem that most of them are willing to take the risk. But all the details, those are still falling into place. Here's Shams Charania, the great NBA insider on the Pat McAfee Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I think the majority of players want to play, but the NBA and the PA are making this an individual decision. Like, the decision's already made. The NBA is moving forward. They want to resume their season. Now it's about who's coming along for the ride. The NBPA and the league approved not only the format, but the entire health protocol. So the league is moving forward, but there are pretty much three or four groups of players that do not, you know, that the NBA is going to have to see where they go.
What does this mean? What if it's a group of players who come from one particular team? Would the NBA then allow that team to withdraw? If they don't have enough players, you don't really have a choice. Or would they just forfeit all their games? I'm not sure. They're still obviously going to have some teams who have to put together these last eight regular season games, but won't be able to follow the schedule that they still have in front of them because not every team is going to be in Orlando. So there's already some quirks in the schedule. There's already some ways that they're going to have to navigate and finagle these eight regular season games. But if a team pulls out after they've already gone and done this work on the schedule, I don't know. I guess you cross that bridge when you come to it. But certainly, with this agreement, as Sham says, they've already decided that there will be no penalties for players who choose not to go to Orlando. And right now, those individual players have to make those individual decisions.
There's also the group of players, I'm told, that are just deciding if this is the right fit for them. Do they really want to go through the bubble? There are players that have dealt with losses in their life during this pandemic that are dealing with health issues with family members that have to decide if we're going to return. There are some very notable players, I can tell you, Pat, that are seriously deciding whether this is the right time for them to make their return.
Shams Charania, the great NBA insider for The Athletic on the Pat McAfee Show on CBS Sports Radio. And all of our interviews across the network are podcasted on our website after, ours are podcasted on our website, but on the CBS Sports Radio website, cbssportsradio.com. 855-212-4227. Lots of cool answers out there. And I get that some of you would like to rewrite history and go back and go to an event or a venue that has already passed or has been played at some other moment in time. Since that's not really possible, those are not answers that I'm reading. Also, you don't get to pick the teams unless it's a particular game. But if you are going to an NBA Finals game, you don't get to decide who's in the NBA Finals. That's still up for grabs. I like how you guys twist your answers to fit your dreams, your bucket list dreams. I get it. That's kind of fun. But if you say Super Bowl, you kind of have to take whichever teams land in the Super Bowl. When I got to go, well, I decided that I would attend the Super Bowl in Houston before I knew which teams were there. In fact, I had to decide and get a credential before the playoffs even started. But I think it's an event like a Super Bowl. Who cares who's playing? Sure, it's great if it's a team that you root for or a team that you're interested in, but it's still a Super Bowl. It doesn't really matter, or shouldn't matter, at least it doesn't to me, who was there. I just ended up getting the only game that went into overtime in Super Bowl history, so it was certainly notable. I don't think I ever need to go again. I might, but I don't think I need to.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We have had hundreds of responses to our show question. I can't take credit for it. This comes from a listener. During Ask Amy Anything on our hump show, I had to pick a venue or an event that I would want to attend if I could be the only fan there. And I thought it was such a good question. It really made me think. And so I wanted to turn around and share it with you. Now, I hope that we do, in fact, have fans. I hope that even if it's limited capacity, that we don't go through the entire college football or NFL season without any fans. That when MLS teams leave Orlando and head back to their home stadiums at some point, they will be able to have fans. I know tournaments like what we're going to have with the NBA and the NHL, those are going to be in bubbles with no fans. And because it's playoffs, they've got so many games that are packed in and so many teams in these hub cities that, you know, they can't add any more bodies to the equation. But maybe when baseball comes back, there will be places where fans are allowed, different states. Now, I'm not exactly sure how the leagues will handle that. If fans will be allowed in one venue, but not in another in a different state. NASCAR is slowly reopening for more fans. I'm anxious to see how that looks on TV and whether or not you can even hear the 5,000 fans on the mile-long front stretch at Talladega. It's complicated. And I hope that there are some fans before the end of the year at various events. I don't know that that will be the case. And I know you take the pulse of various athletes, coaches, whether past or present, and they all seem to have different opinions about how this would be and whether or not it's worth it and how much it would take away from the actual event itself. Rod Carew was a guest on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio, and he expressed his opinion about no fans.
Fans have to understand, you know, I don't want to watch a baseball game with no one in the stands, because to me it's not exciting that way. Even though, you know, they're going to get their kicks out of it, I think it's crazy. I'm more concerned about the players and the players' families than I am about playing baseball at this time.
Rod Carew, who is a highly decorated Hall of Famer, played for the Twins and back when they were the California Angels, the late 60s, all through the 70s, into the 80s, and a well-respected voice. And he says not having fans would take away from the atmosphere, even on TV. It would be so noticeable that he doesn't think it would be interesting or nearly as entertaining. And what does he think about baseball's fight and where it is right now? Now, we have had a proposal go back from the owners to the players. So they're fourth, the sixth proposal overall between the two sides. Where does Rod Carew stand on the stalemate in the game?
I don't see why they want to play, because I think you're putting a lot of players in danger of maybe contacting this disease and not knowing what it's going to do to them. But I would just say let the season go.
So he believes that it's better to just forego the season altogether. But as we've heard, and I certainly respect his opinion, but as we've heard, there are many athletes who are willing to take the risk. I would, if I was in their shoes, knowing that I was healthy and that for the most part, these are not high risk humans. They're in great shape, and most of them are in great respiratory shape because of the amount of running and cardio they have to do to be in game shape. But I'm not a professional athlete, and I am more than willing to take the risk to go back to our CBS Sports Radio headquarters. Like many of you, I have stayed at home for the past 3.5 months, and I have done everything that's been asked of me. I've gone nowhere except for the grocery store. I haven't even gone to the hardware store, for heaven's sakes. I've gone nowhere except to buy groceries and to go to the park with the dog. But generally, we go super early in the morning, and there's nobody around. I've done what my state and my county required of me, and I've stayed healthy. And I still wear my mask every time I go into a public place. As much as I can't stand the thing, I still wear it. It is really difficult, by the way, to drink a Starbucks coffee with a mask on. I had that experience. I just went to a Starbucks for the first time over the weekend because I was moving and didn't have coffee ready to go. I had forgotten. Oh, gosh, it's kind of hard to do this. I wasn't sure this was actually a exercise that I did on Saturday. I wasn't sure whether you should pull it down and drink, because I get iced coffee and I drink through a straw, pull it down and drink, or pull it up and drink. I did both just to see which one was less awkward. I ended up settling with pulling the mask up and drinking, and boy, did I feel like a stooge as I was walking through the grocery store then. So the first time I went to Starbucks was Saturday. And it was early. It was like just after 6 a.m. because I was getting Penny out and going to the bank and getting some coffee before the movers showed up. And and so that one was a little less awkward because I just kind of tried it. Like, I wonder which one is easier. But then I went to the grocery store on, I guess it was Monday, and I had no coffee in the house, and thankfully the Starbucks was open at the grocery store. And so I stood in line, you know, keeping my distance on the little spot on the floor they put for you. And I had to wear my mask. I got the coffee and then had to wear my mask as I was doing my shopping. And that was when I wondered if people were looking at me funny. What are you doing with that mask? Or if someone was going to yell at me for pulling the mask up or down to try to drink out of my straw.
What in the was that?
Exactly. I'm sure I'm the only person who has engaged in such an exercise. I just needed to know which one was easier.
Sorry.
Turns out neither one is really easy. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What sporting event, what venue would you like to be the only fan allowed in so that you could have one heck of a story to tell? Let's go back to our Twitter here. A-Law Radio. Alan says, I want to sit at center court at Cameron Indoor Arena and be the only crazy in the building. That's awesome. It wouldn't be Cameron Crazies. You would be Cameron Crazy.
That's mine too.
Is it?
Yep.
I'm so sorry.
Be Cameron Crazy. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry, Chris. I feel bad. That stole your thunder. Do you have another one that you thought of?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would love to sit front row at Yankee Stadium. I know it's cliche, but it's my favorite team, and I'll probably never get to do it, so.
Oh, don't say that. Someday you'll be rich and famous, and you'll have the opportunity to go and be a guest of the Yankees.
Oh, thank you for the vote of confidence. I so greatly appreciate it.
R2, I'm sure it's not R2-D2, R2 Smith, actually. What are the chances that's a real name, Chris? Yay or nay?
Maybe it's like Robert II, and he goes by R2.
Maybe. On Twitter, Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7 World Series. That's pretty cool. I've been to Game 7s in the postseason, never a Stanley Cup Final. So I've been to multiple Stanley Cup Final games in Chicago and in New York. Amazing experience, but never a Game 7. But I've been to Game 7 in other Stanley Cup series. So just phenomenal experience. But I can't imagine it with no fans. Whew. Let's see. Paging on down through our tweets. Go. Joseph, final round of the Masters, the 18th hole. Man, if you were the only fan allowed at Augusta National, you could walk around wherever you wanted, but he wants to sit just the final round, the 18th hole. Let's see. Joe has a good one. Dwyer Stadium, home of the Batavia Muck Dogs. I bet that could be arranged. Something tells me, Joe, you could purchase the opportunity to be the only fan in the stands. Chris says, want to be the only one in the arena where the Winter Olympics Curling Championship is being held. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Even on TV, you can hear them talking to each other, which I love. I love the communication as they try to guide the, I don't remember what it's called, the stone. Oh, the stone down the ice. Hopefully I don't sound like a stooge saying that.
We're Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
It's not called a puck, that I know for sure. It's a stone. It's the stone. David, hanging out in Millionaire's Row at the Kentucky Derby. More mint juleps for me. Yes, but you want to still be standing when they actually allow them to leave the starting gate. let's see. Another tweet. LSU Tiger Stadium when they play Bama this year. Yeah, we had a Bama fan who said he would like to be in Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, when they kicked off. Tyler, also the Masters. Honestly, I think the Masters is the most popular answer, believe it or not. Another vote, though, for LSU Bama, Tiger Stadium at night. Billy has got his sights set on the moon. Game 7, NBA Finals, Madison Square Garden, courtside. I mean, a man can dream. Let's see. Going to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's some really unique answers here, and I love it.
Hello, friends.
Some of you are just being ornery and not actually getting real answers, like this one from Aaron. A cornhole championship. Just any cornhole championship? I bet you could show up and be the only fan at the cornhole championship, whichever one it is that you prefer. Adam, though, has a great answer. Cheyenne Frontier Days in July. So I used to live in Oklahoma, and it was my introduction to a rodeo. Cattle drives, the rodeo parade, everything. I got to ride in it. I got to be part of these, the drives with the longhorns that they would bring in from a ranch out of town. It was phenomenal. And they would always tell stories about Cheyenne Frontier Days. Just an incredible event. If you are someone who is into rodeo and loves the horses, love the cattle, the bull riding, whatever it is. Some of you are sending your concert venues. No, negative, Ghost Rider. Come on. This is a show in which we only talk about sports. Don't you always want me to stick to sports? Brian says WrestleMania. Brett says Game 7 of a playoff game with the Bruins. Daryl, this coming college football season, opening weekend, the Ohio State University at the University of Oregon in Eugene. I've been a fan of the U of O since 1977. That's awesome. Paul, the Masters, walking every hole. What if you were walking every hole with Jim Nantz? Another Paul, right under that one, the Masters. Brad, the Daytona 500. Another one for the Masters. See, I told you, it's probably the most popular answer. You know what it is? It's the peanut butter on your burger, most popular answer. So,
hello, friends.
I wonder if Jim Nantz would like to join our peanut butter burger challenge. Last week, as part of Twizzler Tuesday, we asked you the craziest topping you ever put on a burger. And I am not kidding you when I say the most popular answer, and there were hundreds of answers, but the most popular answer probably had, 50, 60 people say peanut butter. I'd never heard of that before. Chris, Dave, and I, Bob Usler, Andrew Bogish, some other friends, we've agreed to the peanut butter burger challenge. To the best of my knowledge, no one has done it yet. I will be doing it this weekend when my family is here for a cookout, and I'm going to make them do it too. The Masters has become the peanut butter answer for this question. There's certainly a variety of answers, but the Masters is probably the most popular at this point. Brett, Army-Navy game at West Point. Oh, could you imagine? But if you're the only fan, then there wouldn't be the students that would be there. They so much make the atmosphere. Ricardo, Champions League final, Barcelona versus Real Madrid. And Glenn says Super Bowl 55. Daniel, any Olympics opening day ceremony. That sounds awesome, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.